May the God who makes us, plants us, and nurtures us be with us always. Amen. Well, good morning, Christ Church. I am thrilled to bring you greetings from one river city to another. Normally, I'm in D.C. on the banks of the Anacostia, but I'm glad to be with you here today. And especially, I'm happy to bring you greetings from my boss, the presiding Bishop Michael Curry. I know that since both of us, I'll tell him you clapped. As people who have roots in Eastern, like down East North Carolina, I think he would love this display. That these greeneries and these pots and these plants might remind him, like they remind me, of like grandma's garden down home where the butterbees trickled up in little vines around the kitchen window. Greenery that reminds us of new life, that holds us together, past, present, and future in love. There is something exciting and loving and regenerating thinking about Garden Sunday. But also, I mean, you wouldn't be not wrong if you worried about taking a deep breath and thought, oh, air pollution. Or if you were thinking about the beautiful sun and the hope for the day and worried a little bit about climate change. Or if you thought, can I really enjoy the fruits of the garden in a place dealing with racial injustice and systemic poverty? You wouldn't be not wrong. There's a lot. It's so much to think about the problems we face in our creation and how they're tied in like twisted roots with race and social justice issues. It might make you feel a little conflicted or sad or even hopeless. I hear tell of some great young millennials who call it having a climate creation grief. There's a brokenness in the world we step on and stand in, and yet that's where I think your folks up here, your bishop and your dean, they're pretty gutsy. They might be a little crazy to bring up these readings, revelations on Easter Garden Sunday, to bring up the rantings, the writings of a prophet, crazy man, John of Patmos, who, I like this, when you break down his name, means sort of like River City John, a guy who knows what it's like to feel almost at the edge of hopelessness in a river town. And yet, there's something about this reading, this image of God's own garden plot, God's garden plan in which, well, the revelation of the future isn't just about pretty plants, beautiful hope, but about a push towards real change. So here we are, St. Louis. You're celebrating the end of Earth Day, Earth Month, climate, flowers, history rooted up again and again. And yet, here we are, bold promises, facing darkness of soil, climate grief, change. John, River City John, saw something in that vision. There was a city, and in the middle there's a tree. There's rivers. The tree has leaves, and the leaves are for the healing of the nations, all people. There's something about this totality that says, well, I bet you he would agree with my job title. Creation care, reconciliation, poverty and justice. They're all one thing. That you can't just turn toward the pretty flowers without remembering the soil they're buried in. Without remembering the names of those who trudged and trod, who faced rivers as barriers and not as renewal. When I got in yesterday, I got in bright and early to St. Louis, had a lot of time. I went to the botanical gardens. I walked around and I went to the house, or the country house, of Mr. Shaw, who planted the seeds of this great garden that started this tradition. And right there at the front door, I made a friend named Emily. She was in grad school. She studied history and gardening and we got to talking about what it means to be in a beautiful garden where all you hear is little kids going, "Mama, look, pretty flowers." Knowing that there is so much more in this soil. Emily told me that while the house is decorated beautifully and it has tapestries and fun things and reminds you of the wealth and the privilege and the power of empire, it was down in the basement where they kept the sad reminders, the bad reminders, the notes that indicated that the folks who planted those pretty plants also owned enslaved people, that there was a history of conflict, of being wrenched between empire and God's vision of hope and renewal. And they were down there in the basement, not pushing forth, not showing the leaves of healing. There was a conflict. There was a darkness in that garden. And yet Emily and I were talking. We were like, the thing about gardening is that plants are all about history, especially bulbs. You buy a house, you move into a property, and up come tulips, and you didn't put those bulbs in there. There's a reminder, there's a memory in the ground of our creation that won't let us just turn a blind eye and walk away from the past. Reconciliation isn't just about politics or race or justice. There's a reconciliation in the very earth we live in. Now our advocates and our green justice folks might call it climate reconciliation. They even call it climate reparations. But I think there's just a logic to this. There's a memory and the parts of the earth that keep us alive. Emily, she knew that in the Tower Grove house and the mansion, that there's something that holds it all together for us. This river, there's stories about the Shaw family and that house and about the river, that it wasn't just like in John Patmos's vision, a river of health. It was a river of barriers, division, one side freedom, the other side enslavement. But the thing about these stories is God does not let barriers stand and lie. The thing that was meant for destruction is a way of turning in God's vision. And that story Emily and I were talking about in that house, there were the names of Bridget and Julian and Kath and Sarah and Mary Meacham, folks who were crossing that river, a river of barrier, a river of pain, trying to get to a place of freedom that's rooted in the heritage of that soil, that garden. There's a sadness and a memory of destruction. And yet, Emily had this great quote for me. She said, "The pandemic taught the folks who care for this house something about turning to history for renewal." She said, "Yeah, the pandemic, things closed down. We all had 2-3 years of being locked out of stuff, not being able to access things. There was probably storms, flooding, water damage down in the bottom of this house, where the records and the memory, the roots and the bulbs of the hard history were kept. And yet, when the time came to open back up, to live and take a deep breath, to breathe in a renewal spirit of the community, someone said, we've got to do something now with what was almost lost. The stories that were almost buried, the history that almost made us cry. It's time to lift that up and walk towards reconciliation." Now, I don't know, and Emily doesn't know what's gonna happen, whether it'll be an exhibit or a name calling, whether it'll be a celebration or a memorial, but the principle's the same. When it's time for reconciliation, the stories that were buried have to be lifted back up. When it's time to turn to Crazy River John's vision of holiness, we understand a little bit more about that picture. There's a tree with the leaves, and the leaves of the tree are meant for the healing. And the word is nations, but it also means all the people, the diversity, the left, the right, the black, the white. The tree itself becomes a reminder that God does not lie and let death rule the day, but when living comes again, you and I are made for reconciliation. As you drive around, as I did, getting very lost in St. Louis, you're gonna find more gardens. There's something about this call, this Garden Sunday, what John's vision of hope is for us, that says, y'all, it's time, we need some more gardeners. Be it grandmas with butter beans, or up in the Carondelet neighborhood, I met Fatima. She's planting a Be Well garden, a garden where they want to plant food on abandoned house plots, use that to turn into a restaurant, to give people jobs, to give people hope. We need more gardeners. Gardeners like the folks for the, and I'm going to say this wrong, the Hodiamont Trails. They want to plant grief gardens, a place where plants can help people grow out of the grief of gun violence. God needs more gardeners. Gardeners like those who are just planting the base of a tree in Ferguson. It's red and yellow and blue and orange, reminding us of upheaval and crisis and Mike Brown, but also renewal. God needs more gardeners. This is all we're thinking of doing in creation care and the Episcopal Church and reconciliation. Listing up and living into the vision of Crazy River John. Perhaps the gardeners have different names. Names we'll remember, like enslaved Bridget or Julian, like Mr. Shaw or Cass or Esther or Mary Meacham crossing the river. But when we call those new names, be it Fatima or be it you or I, calling the names of God's new gardeners reminds us that what was meant for division, for death, for suffering, for ill, God does not let that lie. They're like bulbs, they're like roots in the ground. They don't just stand there as memorials to death, but shoot up again and again. God is calling for some new Episcopal gardeners to show the way that in God's future, there is a garden plan with a tree and a river that doesn't divide, but goes amongst, brings people in, washes us, cleans us, helps us do new work for climate change, helps us do new work for reconciliation. What evil had planned to be barriers, what evil had planned to be the death and destruction to wash away, turns into hope. We remember Jesus with us, buried, but like a seed, coming again and again. And so, yes, look at all the pretty flowers I heard folks say in the garden, but we're gonna look at them and remember that what God has done in you and with you, with Jesus of reconciliation, is promised again and again. May we all be God's new gardeners of creation justice and creation care, remembering that reconciliation with the earth is a part of our calling and our destiny. May we all be more than pretty flowers, but gardeners in Crazy John's vision. God be with you. God garden in you, and God always help you say amen and amen.